Well, I have good news for you today. The title of this sermon is God Has the Final Word. Amen. That is the truth. So there's so much going on, and I know there's so much going on, and there's challenges right now in relationships. I mean, people are cooped up at home, and they're just sick of each other. And there's a lack of finances, and there's even a feeling of not being able to advance spiritually. And so I become more and more aware of that. I ask the Lord, This past week, I said, okay, why do we keep on keeping on? I mean, like, why? Why do we keep on keeping on? And he said, for the one. And I said, which one? And he said, my choice. I don't think you got that. You see, we want to see fruit of our labor, or sometimes we get discouraged and we don't want to push past the hardships. We don't want to move forward. But God says we move forward for the one, and the one is his choice. And you know what? You may never know. You may never know who it is. But we do what we do because he asked us to do it. Amen? And I want to tell you, he's going to have the final word on who it reaches. Amen? So God has already devised a strategy for this time. And he has a restoration plan. And that restoration plan includes us knowing his heart for his people. And so he's aware of our frailties. Do you know that? I mean, I know that we're strong in the Lord. I know we know his word, but he's aware of our frailties and our challenges. And his love is still more powerful than our weakness. His love is still coming after us. He's still trying to refocus us. And we're going to experience the victory as we keep moving forward with him. But we're not doing it alone. We don't have to do it alone. So everything that we keep hearing is, the church needs to arise, the church needs to arise, the church needs to arise. But how are we going to arise if we don't know how to arise? So we change our mindsets by the word of God. We change our attitude by the presence of God. We change our heart by submitting to God. And we change our passions by being with him. His passions become our passions. And so it's time for us to change our focus. God knows the journey each one of us need to take before we even get there. Do you know that he has a path laid out for you, and he knows every single thing in your life that you are going to face, and he already has put the answer in front of you. And so the church has to understand God has the final word on your life. Say, he's got the final word on my life. Okay, So many people are coming to me and they're saying, okay, what is the Lord saying? What is he saying about now? What is he saying about the future? What does 2021 have? And so I have lots of things to tell you. I'm not going to right now because I'm working on it for next year. I'm working on it for the fasting guide. I have so much to assimilate so I can give it to you. But here's what he's saying right now. Is that we have to be in the realization process that our God comes to us in relationship, but he will move by our petition. Do you understand? God is in the heavens. God is waiting for his people to arise. But one of the most important things that we need to arise in is our prayers. And so he knows that when we call upon him, he already has the answer prepared. He's waiting for a church. He's waiting for a people. He's waiting for the living God church to come up out of their graves and push, pray until something happens. Hallelujah. Amen. So yesterday, how many of you watched Washington yesterday? In Washington, D.C., they had I love Franklin Graham. Amazing man of God. He has Samaritan's purse. But he knew months ago and started planning on having a prayer assembly in Washington, D.C. And so it was on all day. Well, it was on the night before a little bit and then all day yesterday. And so it's what God has been waiting for. I got to watch it with my own eyes. I saw, they said there was 500,000 people that showed up. That is a lot of people. And you know why they showed up? It wasn't for a political candidate. It was to pray. It was to pray for America. It was to pray for the nations. And so there was worship. Oh, beautiful worship. And I got to tell you, it was so diversified. They had worship from all different places in all different ways. They had prayers that came out from all different people in all different ways. But you know what there was? There was unity. There was unity, and there was a focus, and there was a purpose. And so God was waiting for the moment to say, okay, here they are. This is the assembly of my church. Now, not only were there 500,000 people reported to be there, but there were hundreds of thousands of people watching online. And they were carrying it on different media channels. And so all of those people, like me, were praying too. We were praying, we were worshiping, we were getting in the presence of God. We were fighting, we were battling, we were declaring, we were together. It was unity. And so God had come into that place and magnified his name. Power was released. Now, we haven't seen all of what happened yesterday, but I'm telling you, something happened. Because something always happens with the spirit of unity. Amen? And so God is not looking for us to cry out about our personal needs. He's asking us to petition him. Amen. Petition him for what the important things are. Put a petition before him for the things that are bigger than your own personal stuff. Because when you get out of your own personal stuff, you get into his personal stuff. Amen. Amen. The heart of God. So huddled. They huddled. They were meeting together, and they were waiting for the instructions for the whim. Okay, so people, I know this is going to, you're like, are you going to use a football example? Kind of. I'm really using a huddle example. Okay. People don't go to a football game to watch the huddle. They go to a football game to watch the action that takes place after the huddle for the win. And so people shouldn't just come to church for the huddle, to worship, to huddle to receive the word, or even bask in his presence. I mean, that's part of what we get to do. But the church is supposed to huddle like we did yesterday with all those people and like we're doing today, because we are going to huddle to get the instructions of the Lord so that we can move forth for the victory. We're going to get the victory. So there's a higher power when we gather together in one purpose. And so here's the deal. Sometimes it's because we do our part well, but it's always because God does his part well. Amen. And so our nations need God. But I'm here to tell you, he's going to have the final say. And so when the nation of Israel needed somebody to rise up, God called a man named Abram. Now, I looked at that yesterday, and I'm like, Lord, you know, Abram wasn't looking for God. No. Abram wasn't looking to save a nation. No, he wasn't looking to lead a nation. He wasn't crying out. The Tower of Babel just happened. People weren't, they were just after themselves. They just wanted to make a name for themselves. They didn't want to make a name for God. But God showed up, and he just said, Abram. Here's the deal. Get out of your country. Get away from your family and from your father's house. And you're going to go into a land that you don't even know about yet. I'm going to show you. He's taking him into the unknown. And then he makes him a promise. And he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I will what? I will bless you. Say, I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's purposes and his promises always include the blessing. Now, Abram, we know, became Abraham. He passed a lot of tests. And his greatest testimony was that he trusted his God enough to offer his own son on an altar of sacrifice. Because of this, he knew that God would have the final say. It tells us in Hebrews that if he died, my God would raise him up. Abraham was so secure, he knew that he would do what he said he would do. He knew he would save his son and resurrect him. So what about Moses? Now here's Moses. You know, he's out and about, and he's not seeking God. He doesn't want to be a deliverer. He doesn't want to take care of people. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes it's not about what we're doing, it's about what God has called you to do. God is always going to have the final say. You can run away as much as you want to run away, but God is going to show up in your face and he is going to make some demands of you. He is going to have his way for a nation. He is going to protect his people. And so he showed up and Moses made every excuse in the book. He tried to talk God out of what God had called him to do, but God was going to have his way. Moses made mistakes just like we make mistakes. God had to show up in all different ways to get his attention. I mean, a rod that turns into a snake that turns into a rod. That's pretty impressive. A fire that burns a bush, but it doesn't consume it. That's pretty impressive. Moses rose to lead a people. But you know what the end result was? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. God is not only looking for leaders today, he's looking for friends. You see, we put God in this place where we think he's making us jump through hoops, his hoops. Like he'll only accept us if we work exactly the way he wants us to work. We're only going to succeed if we do everything the way that he has designed it for us. And yet, we know that these people made huge mistakes. We know that all along the way, God was helping them. We know that all along the way, God was doing something else. He was mentoring them. He was grabbing a hold of their heart by his presence to invest his purpose and to make it come forth because he had already given them the DNA that they were going to need to win. Now, God is looking for those people again today. He is looking for the leaders that he has already marked. He's looking for the people, which is all of you. I'm like, well, I'm not called to be a leader. Yes, you are. Do you call yourself a Christian? Because if you call yourself a Christian, the first letters of that is C-H-R-I-S-T. That means you lead. It means that you're going to lead, whether you lead for good or whether you lead for bad, but you're leading. You're leading somebody. And God is looking for somebody that he can call his friend, not just his worker. He has an assignment for you. He has assigned people to your name. He has assigned victory to your name. He has assigned things that are so big that you can't even imagine them all. You don't think Moses saw all of those things in advance, do you? You don't think Abram saw all those things in advance, do you? They couldn't even imagine it, but he kept spelling it out. He kept showing them vision. He kept letting them know, there is a purpose that I have for you, and it's bigger than you could dream of. But you need to dream again, people, because we are under an oppressive spirit that is trying to get us to fear and to not rise up and to not go forward. But I'm telling you right now, if we got the Spirit of the Lord, he is always moving, and he's not moving backwards. He's moving forward, and he's asking you to join him. Amen. God's going to have his final say. He's raising up an army. He's raising up an army. And he doesn't just require us to arise. He arises. Oh, I love that part. Thank you, Duffy. You see, he gives wisdom and he gives strategy. And so he looks at what he knows exactly what we're going through this time frame of history. He knows the end game. But his game always ends with victory. Satan wants us to just, listen, it doesn't even matter which side you are, you still think it ends, how can I say that without saying that word? Bad. I'll just say bad, so I don't get phone calls later. So let's look at Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat received news that the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming, and other armies, they're rising up against him. That's what it feels like right now. It feels like this one is against us, this one is against us, this one is against us. If you're a Christian, this is how you feel. That there is such oppression, there is depression, there are things that are pressing upon us right now to try to keep us down and keep us under. And so, you know, and so the announcement has been made in the heavenly realm. Now, Satan is the ruler and the principality of the air. You know this, right? Now, he's trying to say, you lose. Whatever happens is going to be bad. Whatever, no matter what is happening in the world, it's bad. There's going to be a pandemic, then there's going to be another pandemic, then there's going to be, you know, the thing isn't going to work, and then, oh my gosh, a bee is going to come, and we're all going to die from a bee, and if it's not the bee, then there's amoebas in the water, and you're going to die from drinking the water. And if, I mean, for real. Fear, fear. I win, you lose, I'm winning. There's no end to this. So his announcement is that the torture will continue. Okay. However, we have a God that is going to have the final say about this. And we better be looking to the God that knows how to turn things around for his people. And so no matter what has ever happened in history, God has always taken a people group and he's always raised them up. He's always given them the strategy. He's always given them the ability to turn it around. And right now we are in that turning point. I declare it and I decree it right now. The turn has already begun. Ugh. Because our God is not going to let us be stationary, and he's not going to let us lose. Because God doesn't raise up a people so that they can lose. He's calling us to the huddle right now. And he's saying, you come to the huddle, you get my instructions, you carry out my instructions for the win. Does that mean that we're not afraid? Well, I can tell you everybody in this room's probably been afraid at some point. I mean, they told you you were going to die. Nobody really likes that thought. Well, on most days. Just saying. 2 Chronicles 23. Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. This is the king, and he has all of these people coming against him, and he knows he's outnumbered. And it feels like we're outnumbered. But I got to tell you, we're not. Okay, so what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. Now, how do you set yourself to seek the Lord? When it looks like your job is in trouble, your finances are in trouble, your relationships are in trouble, your health is in trouble, how do you set yourself to seek the Lord? How do you do it? So you have to sit yourself to set yourself. You, if you don't sit in the presence of the Lord, you'll never be set. You have to decide that he is enough for you. You have to decide he's the one with all the answers. You have to decide that you're going after him. You're not going to go after everything else. You're not going to believe all the announcements. You're not going to get in agreement with the devil. You're going to get in agreement with God. But if you don't know what God's saying, how are you going to get in agreement with him? And if you don't sit, you won't set. And he set himself to seek the Lord. It didn't say he got a little chair and pulled it up next to the Lord and spoke to him. It meant he had to go after him. Yeah. It meant, you know, sometimes you have to fight. You have to fight to get in the presence of the Lord. You have to fight to get everything else out of your mind. You have to decide he's worth it. That's the sweat. We sit ourselves. And then he's proclaimed a fast. He's like, this is a smart guy. He's agreeing like with Esther. There's a whole nation that's about ready to get creamed. They're like, I know what to do. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to fast, but I ain't doing alone. I'm going to call other people together, and I'm going to ask them to seek. I'm going to ask them to fast, and I'm going to get them in on God's side, because when we are in unity, there is something in the atmosphere that changes and shifts, because now we're empowered by the Spirit of the Lord to overcome what the enemy is doing. Amen. And so Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Why don't you just ask him for help? You know, we think we're all that. We think that, you know, we can recite all the scriptures. Well, I hope so if you go to this church. We have a lot of scriptures on the inside of us. You talk to somebody, they're going to spit out scriptures. If you're in this church long enough, you'll be spitting scriptures out too. But there's something more than spitting out scriptures. It's applying them. You got to have more than head knowledge. You got to have heart knowledge. You got to have a sit knowledge. You got to sit with the King of Kings. You got to get his wisdom. And so they gathered themselves together and they asked help of the Lord. I mean, sometimes I just go, help. I go, help God. I just help. You know, do you send SOS to God? I send SOS to God. I'm like, this is out of my range. But I'm going to get in your range, so it's not out of my range. Amen. Then all the cities of Judah came, and they came to seek the Lord. See, you know why you do that? Because you have to remind yourself of who he is. You've got to remind yourself of his nature. And then he reminds you of what he's already done. And then you begin to declare. You begin to decree. You begin to appreciate. You begin to honor him for who he is. And that's what they're doing. It's the strategy that's needed for the win. So it says in verse 6, they got together and they said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Let this get in your spirit today. Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? See, they're reiterating their trust and their faith in their God. They are declaring who he is out of their mouth. You need to do this. You need to remind yourself of who he is and what he's done. Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? They're going over this and they're speaking out of their mouth. You gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. They knew it. They knew he was there. They knew the promises. And they dwell in it and have built a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, ha, and here we go. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. Amen. You see what they're saying? God's going to have the final word. So, you know, people are saying, well, how come that the prophets didn't prophesy about this pandemic? Well, what would you do if we did? How come you didn't prophesy about it? Okay, if I got up here in December 31st And I began to tell you, listen, people, here's what's going to happen. We're not going to be able to be together. You know, we're going to have this horrible disease that's going to kill about 200,000 of us. You know, it's going to be all over the world. There's going to be destruction everywhere. I just want to know how happy you'd be. How much in agreement were you going to be? Because here's what God did do. If you go through our prophecy, God gave us the remedy for everything that Satan had planned. God is not in the let's stir them up to be in fear business. He's in the let me give them what they're going to need business, because we're going to defeat the enemy and we're going to stand firm against him. And so he's getting us to understand that even if we face some things, that God is still going to have the final answer. That when we cry out to him, no matter what goes on in our life, he is going to come and he is going to save us. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet, Jehaziel. And he said, listen, all of you in Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and even you, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of all this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Ha! Because God's going to have the final say. I don't see as much excitement in here today as I thought you'd have. Is anybody excited that God is going to have the final say? Okay. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Our God, think about it. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, comes and fights our battles for us. What do? We position ourselves. We position ourselves with prayers. We position ourselves with fasting. We position ourselves by declarations. We position ourselves by our remembrance of who he is. And then we stand until we see his salvation. Second Chronicles 20:17. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord is with you. Now, see, if we just believe that. If we just believe that God would go out with us whenever we went out. If we just believe that no matter how many things that the enemy throws at us, that we're still going to be able to stand. That we're still going to be able to stand firm on who he is. That we're still going to believe his promises are true. That he's watching over his word to perform it. That no matter what Satan comes and throws at us, we can stand against it because our God is working for us and he is the one who will win the victory. He is already decided. I read the end of the book and he wins. His promises are going to move us into action, and this is the action he wants us to move into. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You know, it's easy to worship God when everything is good. It's easy when we just had a win. Oh, we're crazy people. We're so excited. We jump up and down. We declare our testimonies. We're excited. But we're in the middle of the battle. And when you're in the middle of the battle, you have to decide not to be in fear. You have to decide not to be dismayed. You got to hold on to his promise, and then you have to bow. You have to honor him. You have to humble yourself before the Lord. You have to admit you don't have the answer. But you have to also admit he does. Hallelujah. Then the Levites of the children and the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, dear Lord, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high.
Hallelujah.
Loud and high.
Yeah.
They're like, just in case you can't hear me, Satan, I'm going to praise my God.
Hallelujah.
With all my heart, with all my strength,
hallelujah,
with all my mind. And so that's our call. That's how we win. That's the huddle God wants right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He always has a plan to save his people.
Yes,
he deserves our attention. He deserves our praise. And sometimes you just do it. You know the way to get yourself out of not feeling like it? Just do it until you do.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established." That's a good word. "Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." What happens? We prosper. When we trust in the Lord and when we believe him at his word, we prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." You know, sometimes we just depend on mercy. Sometimes we don't give him our list of everything we did right. Sometimes we don't worry about the list of everything we did wrong. Sometimes we just declare his mercy endures forever. And it's going to forever be the difference for his people. Because God is never going to let his people fail. He has the answer for you. He has the victory for you. He is on your side. He is with you and he is fighting for you. Our God is God, and his mercy endures. And so the people of God, as we come together and we sing and we praise and we declare who he is and we remember his promises, all of a sudden you begin to change your attitude. All of a sudden your affection starts going back to where it belongs. All of a sudden you get out of yourself and into him. All of a sudden you're looking in his face, and when you're looking in his face and seeing those eyes of love looking back at you, it settles your issues. Because our God is God, and he is a merciful God, and it will endure forever, and our God will have the final say, and we know he has already beat the enemy. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, "Hallelujah to your name, Lord," the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. You know, there's all different ways the Lord can instruct us to the win. There's all different things that he will tell us to obtain the victory. But if we don't trust him, if we don't believe that he is on our side, if we don't trust in his goodness, if we don't trust in his mercy, if we don't declare who he is in our life, we can get it down and run over. We cannot even know which side is up.
Amen.
But when our God shows you by his word who he is,
yes,
he will reinforce you. He will reinforce the truth of who he is to you and for you and through you. And all of a sudden you begin to rise again. If we call upon him, or he calls upon us, then he still has everything in his hand ready to go to breathe life back into his people. He is. God's starting to revive his people. He's destroying the atmosphere of fear. He's going to have himself a people who love God and do exploits in his name. He said so. He already promised us. He already designed it. He already knows what we're going to face. He already said, okay, this is the script for them. This is what is going to do. This is exactly what's going to happen. The devil is going to lose and my people are going to rise. If he roars, we praise. If we praise, he roars. It kind of works that way. And so he always gives his people back the desire to follow him into victory. Now, we don't start out that way. Sometimes we're just tired. Sometimes we don't want to fight anymore. But the word is alive. Do you know that the word is alive? Do you know that it has the ability to empower us? He's calling his people back into his power, but into his design again. There is a call to you today. He is calling to you today. He is saying, hey, your purpose is still there. My design is still on you. I don't care what's going on around you. I'm calling you to myself, and I have the win for you. You know, I struggle sometimes because I'm preaching, and sometimes I'm preaching really good. And I look out and I go, I don't think they care. I mean, like, maybe they don't care. Maybe, you know, the thing that moves my heart to God and to do what he asked me to do is because I care about God's heart. I really care about his heart. I care if I make him smile. I care if I make him sad. I care if I make him cry. I don't want to be that person. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that, but I don't think everybody cares about God so much. But I know this. The word is alive. And if we speak the word, it begins to do something in the hearts of people to awaken them. I believe that if we just love him so much that we create an atmosphere that just sucks them right into his love, and then all of a sudden they do care. Then all of a sudden the spirit begins to move. I was talking to Reve the other day, and I said, Reve, what is your favorite memory of you and God? And she said, my favorite memory? And she goes, oh. She goes, okay. Oh, I know. It was when we were at that conference. And when I turned around and I laid hands on somebody, I went to lay hands on somebody, and they just flew across the floor and landed. And I knew that the power of God just surged through me to help somebody else. That's my favorite memory, I think, of my life. You know why? Because this is what we're built for. You know that you're supposed to have a testimony like that. You're supposed to see what it feels like to have the surge of the Holy Ghost come upon you. You're supposed to know that people will come and run and sit at your feet and say, I don't know what's going on with you, but I need to know this God that you have, because there's something that is stirring on the inside of me that I've never felt before, and I know you're carrying something that I need. This is who God is waiting for, his church. Hallelujah. It's time for us to be the church that he has been designing, that he's been desiring for this time frame in history. There's been other times in history where things were bad, when people were in darkness, when people were in fear, when things were not going well, where people were consumed, where there was death, where there was destruction. There has been all of that in the past, but there was always a people. There was always a people that cried out to their God. There was always a turnaround time, and this is the turnaround time. He's just waiting for you to turn around. You just got to get out of yourself. You just got to get out of the circumstances. You know, they call it facts. I call it circumstances. God calls it the impossible becoming the possible. God calls it a challenge that you can overcome. God calls it a victory about ready to happen. God calls it a people arising into who they really are, feeling the power of the Spirit. We're talking about Spirit empowered all on. Where is it? All right. It's inside of you. It's about time. You better start acting like it. You better act like you're empowered. You better think like you're empowered. You better go after the things of God. You better let the Word of God be your empowerment, because there is power in the strength of the Word of the Lord. And if you're not speaking it, well, you're probably experiencing some things. But when you start getting with Him and you sit with Him, you get set with Him, and you begin to speak what He speaks, then all of a sudden there is a rumble that begins to come in the heavens. There is something that begins to, and God goes, oh, wait, there's somebody who's believing me right now. I want you to go, angel. I want you to go, angel. I want my armies of angels. You're going to go into that situation and you're going to begin to turn it around. And I believe right now the army angels are being released to save America. Because somebody declared who He was. Somebody got together to pray. Somebody began to believe the Word again. Somebody began to think about who He is, to remember all of His victories, to declare all of the things He's already done. What about you? Hallelujah. We're doing exploits. God is alive. His Word is alive. You know, the enemy rages against us. We need to rage back. Not in the natural, not in the physical. I really feel sorry for people. You know what's happening in this crazy world? People are responding to what is wrong, and they know they have to do something, and they're getting really aggressive about it. I have to put things back in order. I got to do something. I got to do something. But they're not doing it right, because they don't know how to do it right. And if the church doesn't show them how to do it right, this is going to continue. But if we, the church, arise with love and with words and with power, and we begin to invade this atmosphere, and we begin to set things in order according to the kingdom of God, then they'll say, I want to be like that. And there is more power in their little finger than all of this nonsense. And then the church will rise, and then the people will return to the God of their fathers. They say we're losing a generation. I say we're not. I say the generations are waking up. I say the generations are going to be the difference. I say the generations are going to be speaking about their God, because they just experienced Him. Because some good old person just prayed on their knees and began to declare the word of the Lord and wouldn't give up on the generations until finally they saw some movement. We got to remind ourselves that when the enemy gets awakened, that we just get awakened more. They're talking about a great awakening. Well, wake up! Think about David. Think about Hezekiah. Think about Elijah. I mean, they all faced stuff. They all had to face their own monumental things that came against them. What about Matthew? What about Mark? What about John? What about Paul? He faced things. We face things. But we know who's here today. Amen. And we know who we are today. Because the holiness of God is beginning to awaken hearts. There is this reverence God keeps talking about, a holy people that He's... The empowerment of the Spirit is starting to rise. Starting to awaken us. He's calling to the church and He's going, listen, I'm going to get you in order, but you can't even get yourself in order until you recognize my holiness. You see, He is altogether good. He is altogether holy. He is altogether worthy. He is altogether everything that we will ever need. And until we recognize and rely on and put our full trust in Him, we will not become who He says we will be. But when we do... the turn happens. Yeah. Satan is freaking out right now. Yeah. He can smell it. He can feel it in the atmosphere. He's like, I almost have him. I almost have him. I almost had him. I almost had him. And then he hears all these prayers. He's like, oh, there's something going on in the force.
Yes.
Things are beginning to quake in his little world. His kingdom is being shaken. Our kingdom is being shaken. Just the stuff that he has attached to us. Because the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. The principles that he's laid on the inside of us, the foundational truths, will never be shaken because our God watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Okay. It's time for his word to come alive. And it's going to come alive in you. It's going to come alive in you. Whew. You know, when you don't know what to do, you know who to go to. So, I went to Psalms 119, the Passion Translation. I just like it. If I was writing the Bible, I would write the Passion Translation. And so, verse 65 says this. Just listen to how... This should make you happy. If you're not happy today, get happy. Your extravagant kindness to me makes me want to follow your words even more. Okay, take a moment. How has God been kind to you? So many ways, right? He's kind. His extravagant kindness to me. I could give you lists of his kindness that he has done. Things that are just way big and things that are little kisses that you can't even explain. Personal, just such a personal kindness to me. It makes me want to follow his words even more. That's what it does. When you think about his kindness. Oh, my goodness. Verse 68, everything you do is beautiful. Everything God does is beautiful. I can't say that about any other person. You know, I love you, but you're not always beautiful. I'm not always beautiful because we are imperfect, but the one who created everything, everything he does is beautiful. It flows from his goodness, and it teaches us the power of his words, his wonderful words. Everything he does, beautiful. It's his covenant. His words are life to us. Verse 89. His word is standing firm in the heaven. It is fastened to eternity. It is the word of God. Just think about God, the Holy Ghost, coming upon men and having them write down words that will last through eternity, that carry the power to change a person's life time after time after time after time. They will stand firm in the heavens. Every single written thing that God wrote down will stand for eternity. You can count on the word. You can count on it. Oh. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. You know, just take your generation right now and just go, you're flowing. God, you're flowing from me to the next generation, to the next generation, because there it is. His faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify of you. Hallelujah. It testify of you, God. It has a voice. The word has a voice. And it testifies of our God and his goodness and his faithfulness and his greatness and his mercy. Hallelujah. Verse 93, we can never forget the profound revelations that you've taught us, for they have kept us alive more than once. Well, I can look around this congregation and tell you that is a fact. His profound revelations has kept us alive. You know, it can be a revelation about who you are. It could be a revelation about who he is. It could be a revelation about your health. It could be a revelation about your family. It could be a revelation about his word coming alive to you. But his revelations have kept us alive more than once. I remember when Chuck was in the hospital. And I was with the leaders, and we were at a meeting, and then they called, and, you know, we knew that we had to take a break. We had been at the hospital with him. And so we went, and we were having lunch, and all of a sudden I got up from the table, and I go, we got to go outside right now and pray. I mean, we have to pray hard. We all got up, went outside, we started doing battle. We were fighting for Chuck's life, and I knew it. A few moments later, I got a phone call. I don't remember if it was Beth or Charlie, but they were there with Chuck, and all of a sudden, he began to lose his ability to stay alive in his heart. And so, all of a sudden, at the same moment, wasn't his lungs, was it his lungs, Beth? And so, in that moment of time, because we know our God, because God knows everything that concerns us, because he gave us a revelation on what to do, we came together and we began to war against what the enemy was trying to do to take Chuck out before his time. And guess what? All of a sudden things shifted and things changed. And look, he's here today. Hallelujah to his name. He's kept you alive more than once, Chuck, and he's still doing it. Verse 94, Lord, I am yours. We are yours. You are our Savior. You see, that's what he said to us in the prophecy this year. Us with him and him with us. Verse 96, we have learned that there is nothing perfect in this imperfect world except your words. For they bring such fantastic freedom to my life. This is an imperfect world. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You just might as well know we're going to have tribulation, but you can also know that the perfect thing is the word of God, and his word will stand forever, and his word brings freedom to your life. Amen? Because God's word will be the final word. So to everyone that is here, if you're troubled today, if you're in fear today, if you feel like you're in a battle today that you can't win, if you are depressed, here's what the first thing you have to do. You have to quit looking down. Look up. You got to look up. Okay, so I guess I'm going to ask you to put your mask on for some of the people who really need you to put your mask on. Put your mask on because I'm going to ask you to stand and to vocalize this, and I don't want anybody to be afraid. Okay. You ready? Okay, please stand up. We're going to declare this and come into, this is a prophetic action today. I believe that we're going to release the word of the Lord and his promises over us today. And so, Psalms 121. Do we have that? Okay, thank you. All right, let's say this together. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection come only from the Lord, our Creator who made the heavens and the earth. Amen. Next verse. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper, and he will never forget nor ignore me. Hallelujah. Next verse. He will never slumber nor sleep. He is the guardian God for his people, Israel, his church. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He is protecting you and me from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity as he continually watches over us. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you are home. So you will return. He will protect you now, and he will protect you evermore. Hallelujah. Daddy is on the way. Say, my daddy is on the way. And his word is true. And I'm not going to worry anymore, because he is moving everything out of the way. He cares about me. And he's answering us with a promise and a hope. Amen. Amen. Give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you, Lord.